Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. We need 4. Three outlines. I think some of you probably were not there. Hi, Martin. Some of you were not there last night as an introduction to the whole conference this weekend because we're going to share concerning the spiritual sacrifices. Fellowship concerning especially the verses, 1 Peter chapter 2. I think it's good for us to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 again. All of us to read it together. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2. Then getting in verse 4, and let's read up to verse 5. Verse 4 and 5. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Amen. In the Old Testament days, God's temple is made of physical stones. It's not living stones, just real stone, solid. Physical stones. You remember telling Jesus, look, what a wonderful, beautiful temple. Because Herod, during this time, Herod renovated and even added to the building. And it was really a beautiful piece of architecture. And so the disciples told the Lord Jesus, beautiful temple. What did the Lord say to them? The Lord said, well, look carefully. Not one stone is going to stay upon the other. The whole temple was going to be destroyed and torn down. During a time the Lord was on this earth, it was a transitional period. Remember, before the Lord Jesus died on the cross, the old covenant still was valid. Still valid. It was not over yet. It was not removed and taken away. So that temple was still considered by the Lord as my Father's house. You remember, God, as the Lord, chased away all those moneymakers. Money changers, people doing business there, selling lambs and pigeons for the offerings. You know, people always like to make money out of spiritual things, make money out of books, the Bible, the Word of God. You remember, Paul says, we are not like those. What? Can you imagine? I come here to hold the conference and you all have to pay me. Oh, goodness. God forbid that I make money out of the word of the living God. No, we should be. Today, religion is like a big money-making business. Those TV evangelists, South America and then asked people to give money, and there was an orphanage. And this TV program, people went there especially to see if there was no orphanage, just a small room where somebody they said they're smoking and collecting the money. And one of those TV evangelists, $80 million. Well, very good business. Do you want to get into that business? How are you going to face the Lord one day? And so many Christians just believe. You know, Christians are not just believers, but they are superstitious believers. So it's not just in the early days during the time of the Lord that in the temple of God there are so many money makers there. They know, people are going to they have to come to Jerusalem to give offerings to God, right? They have to bring their bulls, sheep, goats, and so many things, even fine flour, meat offering. So many people traveling from so far. So what I do, I'm a businessman. My mom has a business for me. So I take all my flocks, their lambs, and I prepare all these offerings there. So you travel from so far, come to Jerusalem. And you didn't bring anything, but you can't come in and hand it to God. So you buy it. And usually a lamb for eating for lamb chops is maybe $10. But hey, this is a special offering for God. I'm selling you for $50. You have no choice, you have to buy. And then you don't have money, so you have money changers. So that money changer is there. $500 bill. Merchandise. And today they're still doing it. But that's not the Father's house. That's their men's organization. So they'll take care of you. You go ahead and but my point is not that. My point is that in the Old Testament days, even at the time of the Lord Jesus, the Lord still considered that temple the Father's house. Why? That was a transitional period. The old covenant was valid at the law. After the Lord Jesus died on the cross, the Old Testament is over. Over. No more. That place is God. And the old earthly Jerusalem is no longer the place where God has chosen. And now the new covenant, it is the heavenly Jerusalem. Not the earthly Jerusalem anymore. And the church is no longer a physical house, a physical building like that in Jerusalem. No, no, you remember last night, the Lord changed Simon Bar Jonah. So now the believers all become the living stone. Whether you like it or not. You have to be. If you don't want to be, that's your problem. But it's a choice. You're born again. The Spirit of God dwells in you. Are you alive or are you dead, George? Alive. Not just physically alive. Spiritually alive. Why? Because the Holy Spirit now dwells in you. Are you born again, by the way? Yes. What does it mean to be born again? That is the Holy Spirit. stones. Are you a dead stone or are you a living stone? Of course. That means, what do you mean, of course? Just because you're born again, you're a living stone now? You have to learn to live by the Spirit. So, meaning to say that every believer is a potential living stone. It all depends on whether you live by the Spirit or you are still continuing to live by the flesh. That's why, let's turn to Romans chapter 8. I'll show you Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 says, yeah, verse 6, for to be carnally or fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life. Or in other words, to set your mind upon the flesh. But if you set your mind on the Spirit, then it's a lot of things when you want to set your mind. Right? And then it continues to say, verse 13, let's all read together. If you live according to the flesh, you will. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So what do you like to do? You like to die or you like to live? Is he talking to believers or unbelievers? Believers. So you're born again and your spirit is made alive. But that doesn't mean that you're already very living. It depends on whether you want to set your mind on the flesh, or you want to set your mind on the Spirit, or whether you want to live according to the flesh, continue to do that, or you want to, by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, you put to death the body. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's right. Of course everybody wants to live. Nobody wants to die. Or? No, right? We all want to choose. We all want to choose. Don't say, oh, it's not possible. Who says it's now the Spirit of the Lord dwells in you. Learn, practice, exercise, set your mind upon the Spirit and upon the flesh, then you will live and you will be a living stone building a spiritual house. Now let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 2.
Amen.
Coming to him as to a living stone, even the Lord himself is a living stone. That's why he makes us.
Unfortunately, rejected by men.
You know, many believers today, they accepted the Lord as the Savior, which is good, but they rejected the Lord as a living stone. Because they are not from God's will.
But,
chosen by God and precious, you also who are a few. A few? Just some Christians? You who are you?
Unfortunately, many of the believers, they don't like to see that. And they are fully in the tradition of religion. After thousands of years of religious tradition, they didn't realize. Nobody told them. You also, the living stone, are being built up of a spiritual house. So now you have realized in the new covenant, in the New Testament age, the temple of God is built on the way of this of the mountains. No. You have realized that the living house, the house of the living God today, is built up of living stones, not made by hand. Born again by Spirit. So into a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. So today, we the believers are priests. We are priests. Just like in the Old Testament days. God desired to have a nation of priests. All the 12 tribes of the people should all be priests. And you may ask the question, Martin, how come only the Levites at the end became the priests and received the priesthood? Why? Tell me, George. Tell us. Moses was up in Mount Sinai, fellowshipping with the living God, receiving all the instructions and visions, building of the temple and the law. And he was up there 40 days, and the people were down the mountain, in the valley, below the mountain. What did they ask Aaron to do for them? He says, we don't know whether this Moses is going to come back or not. Maybe he forsook us already. 40 days. Over a month. And what happened to him? Maybe he was swallowed up by it. Whatever is up there. Who knows what's up there in the mountain. So, Aaron makes us a golden calf. Invisible gods. They pressed Aaron's flesh. Aaron had no choice because so many people, they're all pressing upon him. Okay, whatever you say. So Aaron made a golden calf. Okay, give me all of your gold and they melt it. Crazy, dancing around and pushing. And God was really mad. And God told Moses, you better go down the mountain. That's what your people are not even. Will not call them my people. Now he says, Moses, it's your people. Look what your people is doing there, huh? Moses went down there with Moses' sword. Came down with two tablets of stones. Came down and broke two tablets of stones. Meaning to say that actually God was so mad that he would just break that tablet. And when Moses saw that, he drew a line. Those who are on God's side, you're on God's side. You make your choice. You're on God's side. your sword and kill your brothers.
So, because the Levites were faithful to God, came on God's side, God rewarded them with the priesthood. That's how the Levites, the tribe of Levi, became priests.
But originally, God wants all of his people to be a nation of priests, because to be a priest is such a wonderful privilege.
So out of the 12 tribes, at the end, only one tribe became the tribe that received the priesthood. But that was not the original plan.
No, today it's the same thing. All the believers should be a part of this wonderful priesthood.
Serving this wonderful living God, drawing near to him, receiving revelation,
having such a wonderful fellowship. Hebrew says, come, come. Come and enter into the Holy of Holies
by the new and living way through the blood of Lamb. The book of Hebrews says, every should come.
You don't want to come to sin.
What you really want. Is that really what you really want? Are you satisfied? Firstly, I ask you, are you satisfied? And then secondly, is God satisfied?
These are the two questions you need to ask.
So,
normally, all the Christians
part of the priesthood.
Each one serving his living God, each one according to the measure of grace
that God has given to them, gift. It doesn't mean that everybody has the same gift, but everybody has received a portion of gift,
and we should serve according to the measure.
And it says here, to be a holy priesthood,
to do what?
To offer up spiritual.
You know, to offer up spiritual sacrifices does not mean that you should do a lot of things for God. What are the spiritual sacrifices?
Not learning doctrines and doing a lot of works for Christ, going to Africa and missionary. Imagine all of you who go to Africa, what will happen to the church? This group who go to Africa, right, who go to South America, they will go to the Philippines, and you will go, I don't know. Verse 7, chapter 4, verse 7. Let me read to you, okay? Read carefully, huh? Read what you can. Use your eyes and pay much attention. but to a few of you, grace was given according to the measure of the gift. To a few, to some of you, to some of us, just to some of us, say there not again, what did you say? Each grace was given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Above that. So you can really see that all of us have a measure of then, of course, not everyone is an apostle, not everyone is a prophet, evangelist, and shepherd, pastors, and shepherds in the New Testament is elders. So there is no such thing as quote-unquote pastors. Okay, teach. Verse 12, what does it say? So that they can every Sunday give a morning service. What does it say, Shirley, in your translation? Verse 12. For the one equipping, perfecting and equipping. Now, you have been in so many groups before, right? After so many years? After so many years, the pastor is still the pastor, and you are still you. No equipping, nothing. Never graduated. After 40 years, you're not graduating. Can you imagine you go to university and study and study and attend lectures and lectures year after year for 40 years and never graduate? That would be really sad. Either we are all terrible students, or we have terrible professors, or both. It says for the equipping of the saints to do the work of the ministry. So who is supposed to do the work of the ministry? Those great apostles, Peter, Paul, James, John, Matthew, Mark, the saints are supposed to be equipped, and then they will do the work of the ministry for the building up of the then let's continue. Read verse 16. Because we have to grow up in all things into Christ, who is the head. Verse 16 says, from whom? Just a few. Just the pastors and the elders and the committee join their knee together, and they fight all the time. They're not joining together. By what?
Does it share? Can you imagine if the whole body has just a few fingers doing it shares it? The rest of the body is not working. Now you're not going to live very long. Your body is not going to exist very long. You're not going to be very healthy if just a few parts are working. Just your heart is pumping, your lungs, half the lungs, and one kidney is working, and the rest are not working. Causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself. That is how the church of the body is built up by itself. Who builds up your body? Can your mouth say, I am the body? Say, well, where are you? How are you going to cook? With your ears? You're going to cook? You're going to cook your ears if you cook with your ears. Every part of the body must be a functioning part. Not just the mouth that speaks, 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 speaks. And at the end, nothing happens. This is not God's way. Why am I saying this? I'm saying this. I don't care about what happens. I don't care what I care about. I cannot change other people's concept. If they want to do it that way, okay. I cannot change. How bad traditions. So we really need to realize something. Don't think I'm here just to give you a comfort that I don't care about comfort. I care that the Lord opens your eyes and make you alive. finish the job.
Oh God. Yeah. Now, there's so many things actually to see. But let's go back to First Peter chapter 2. The priesthood are there to offer up spiritual sacrifices. That means that as a priest, we need to know Christ. You know, to be a speaker or to do a lot of things there, you need to be gifted.
But to enjoy and experience Christ, you don't need to be gifted. You have to be gifted to eat. You need to be very, very gifted to eat. You just have to be hungry, exactly. And all these spiritual sacrifices are for us to enjoy. You need to be gifted to enjoy. You need to be gifted to drive a car. You need to be gifted to use your hands. Very normal. These are very normal functions of human beings. Now, as a Christian, as a born again Christian, having the life of Christ within you, to eat the bread of life every day, you need to be gifted to be Christ. Tell me, surely, do you a very gifted person? But to interpret, to study, to be a theologian, wow, yes, you need to be gifted. But to eat, because the Word of God is the Word of life. So for you to eat the Word of God, you need to be very gifted. A very gifted Christian to eat the Word of God, the bread of life. You don't.
Say, I don't want. Then, okay. Now it's not a matter of the gift, it is a matter of whether you want to or you don't want to. It's your choice. There are certain things in the Bible that is so clear that you don't need. The Lord says, I am. The Father already baked it. It's already baked. For God so loved the world, He sent His bread of life. Come. But people, the Lord, what can you do? So, two. Take care of the spiritual offering. If the Lord tells you you have to create a cow, or then I will tell God, I'm sorry, I cannot create a cow. But a cow is already prepared. A bull is already prepared. A lamb is already prepared. To raise a lamb, you have to have a flock of everybody. Field, a lot of grass.
That's all you need.
And you just bring the best fat. And in the Old Testament, there's a fat that you need to bring. But in the New Testament, when the Lord Jesus came, let us read John, okay? Let us read John. Chapter 1, verse 29 and verse 34. 36, I'm sorry. 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him. John saw Jesus coming toward him. And he says, behold, as I said, the stones were dead stones, but now we are the living stones. Behold the living stones. And now, in the Old Testament times, all the offerings were animals. Bulls, lamb, female lamb, the male lamb, goats, pigeons. If you're poor and you don't have a lamb, okay, bring a goat. If you don't have a goat, okay, bring a pigeon. We have to have a grill outside and slaughter. We'll be slaughtering. But in the New Testament times, the Lamb is Lord. He is the reality of the offering. So, is it so hard? Do you have to prepare a lamb? God already prepared. Son Isaac. So God the Father already, just like Abraham, was willing to pay the sacrifice of his son Jesus Christ. So when Abraham brought Isaac, Isaac was carrying those food, Isaac was asking the offering. Isaac didn't realize that he was offering. So struggling. God, how come you trying to kill me? Then, while Abraham took up the knife and ready to slaughter his son, God stopped. But in the eyes of God, Abraham already offered up Isaac. No, our God, our wonderful Father God, he offered up this wonderful sacrifice, the Lamb of God. It's not man's lamb. No, it is God's lamb prepared for you. Experience him in your daily life. So many Christians, they do not have this concept. They just say, oh, Christ died for me, praise the Lord. And so now I'm okay, I have no more problem because he died for me, and then everything is okay, and I just go ahead and do my own thing and live my own life. Everything is okay. Why are you doing this? I'm saved. Christ died for me 2,000 years ago, so what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Eat the lamb. So that you will change. So that you will experience salvation. And remember what Paul says in Philippians chapter 2. Work out your own salvation. And there's this. Work out spiritually. Experience this wonderful salvation prepared by God. One day, God. You know, when people of Israel came out of Egypt, before they came out, they had killed. Oh, we're separate.
is that good enough? The blood? No. They should eat the lamb inside the house. Because they have a long journey to go. If you don't eat the lamb and you get out of your house and flee from Egypt, you don't have strength to flee. Because you don't eat. Many Christians are, I'm weak. After 10 years, I'm still weak. And even weaker. And after 20 years, I'm still weak. And even weaker than before. And after 50 years, I'm still weak. Is that normal? Why is it? Take the blood for forgiveness, but you don't eat the meat. If you don't eat the Lord, you will forever be a weak Christian. Not because you are no good. There's a sacrifice for you first to eat and for you to enjoy. After eating, you're strengthened. The nourishment will strengthen you. And you will be not a weak Christian, you're going to be a holy priesthood. Not a weak priesthood. If you have a weak priesthood, you cannot even carry that little pigeon. Oh, why don't you do that? Oh, I'm too weak. Pastor George, I'll pay you how much you should have paid me. The royal priest shows us the wonderful status of a priest with royalty. Something that the Lord has given to us. Something that we should treasure. Don't despise it. Just like Esau despising the birthright. Don't despise it. You know Esau, the story of Esau? He sold his birthright for how much? A bowl of soup. My goodness, what kind of soup? Chicken soup? Not even a chicken soup. My goodness, what kind of soup? A bean soup. You sell your birthright for a bowl of soup. Hey. Anybody wants to sell his birthright, come to me, okay? I'll cook a bowl of soup for you. Even though I'm not a good cook, but I'll cook you any bowl of soup, okay? At least I'll boil a chicken soup for you. You want to sell your birthright? You think it's a joke? It's not a joke. So may the Lord open our eyes to see that we need to have faith not only in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior who died for us, but we need to have faith in all of the wonderful aspects that the Lord has prepared for you just to be born, and is that all? You're just born? What are you going to do after you're born? Oh, there's a lot of things to do. Don't say, oh, I'm weak. I'm just a baby. For every day after 50 years, I'm still a baby. After 50 years, after 70 years, you're still a baby. This is not right. Something is very, very wrong if after 50 years, you're still a baby. Okay? Say, oh, I didn't grow because I'm not gifted. You just need to drink it.
Behold the Lamb of
God. God has prepared for us. A Lamb. And like I said, if you read the whole Bible, especially the book of Leviticus, that Lamb. Most of us are conscious of our sin, and definitely our sin is a problem. It's a problem. That's why the Lord came, and John the Baptist mentioned the Lamb who takes away sin, because the Lord really, first of all, he came to take care of our sin, because he doesn't take care of our sin, and the rest of those problems. First item mentioned in the Gospel of John is behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin. And I want you to pay attention to the word sin and sins. In this verse, it is sin in singular. Meaning, dealing with that very nature of Satan, sin itself. This is talking about the sin. And then, in verse 36, again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples. John the Baptist stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, again, he said, behold, so God already prepared such an offering for us. Now, we all need to begin to see and enjoy Christ as such an offering, but not only a sin offering. That's why we need the Scripture. We need the Scripture. We need Leviticus. We need Leviticus to know in a full extent all the aspects of Christ. Okay. Is it clear? I hope this is clear. So the holy priesthood in the Scriptures must learn how to deal with his life of the Old Testament days, like I said. This time, the book of Ezekiel, right? We saw in the outer court, there's so many places for us to sit down and eat and enjoy the offering. It just looks like a wonderful heavenly restaurant. You're just enjoying the wonderful offering. The riches of Christ for his people to enjoy. I hope that this picture remained in all those who were there in the conference. Oh, that was really what a sight. What a sight. So when all
chapter 2. But before we go to chapter 2, let us go to chapter 1, because Peter also mentioned concerning the Lamb. Verse 18. I like verse 18. Right? Because it says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, silver, gold, from your what? Redeemed with aimless conduct. What does it mean, aimless conduct? We don't know it. We have no goal. The Christian life has no goal to aim. Many of these religions, their goal is to go to somewhere, I don't know. Dream on high in the sky. Everybody talks about high in the sky, but nobody ever needs it. Everybody dreams about going to heaven, and nobody was there. Ever. And nobody ever came back to tell you what it was. So dream on. High in the sky. Redeemed from your aimless conduct. Received by what? By what? Traditions from your fathers. How about a tradition? By tradition. You need to be redeemed not just from your sins, but from the aimless conduct received from your tradition. So, you will not redeem corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb of flesh and spirit. A lamb. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, manifested in the last times. All of you will be impressed. It's a kind of repetition from last night, but I think it is a very important repetition, especially for some of you. You really realize Christ as the spiritual offering. So rich. That's what Paul talks about, the unsearchable riches. Christ, but all that many believers know is just He died for my sins. And I believe in Him, I'm saved, my sins are forgiven, I'm going to heaven. That is spiritual knowledge and superstition. Not that believing in Jesus Christ as our Savior is superstitious, but one day your goal is going to somewhere in the sky, in the blue, somewhere beyond the blue. Huh? The sweet by and by. No. Don't believe in such a thing. We need to experience this rich Christ today in our Christian life. And that is how this priesthood prepares a spiritual offering. Why is it called to offer up spiritual offering? See, God our Father offered up His Son for us. But if you don't know how to receive such an offering and process it and enjoy it and experience it in your daily life, then, by this enjoyment and experience of Christ as such a wonderful offering, whether it be sin offering, trespass offering, peace offering, peace offering.
Christ in his riches.
You have nothing to lose actually.
So when we come together, we are so poor. You look at me and I look at you and we have nothing to say.
Say there's nothing because you have not experienced.
If you say praise God our Father, the Father will ask you why.
Give me one reason why you're praising. Praise God. That's why. Those praises are empty. There's nothing in it. It's like I give you a wonderful birthday gift, but it's only a box. It's a beautiful box. When you open it, it's empty. It's a Pandora box. It seems that when you empty it, come together, each one of us prepared to be a burnt offering, a meal offering, to enjoy the fine, wonderful humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ at home, to enjoy peace. Can you imagine if you and your wife are arguing, fighting every day, and then at least 20 times a week, and then you come to a meeting and says, Lord, I want to offer you a peace offering. The Lord says, what kind of peace offering? What offering? You should offer me a fighting offering. Where is the reality? Where is the enjoyment of Christ? Where is the enjoyment? What about enjoying the Lord as our sin offering? Meaning to say, I can overcome sin because of Christ. Not just a forgiveness. Remember when that woman caught in adultery in John chapter 8? The Lord was very merciful because the Lord told the people there because they wanted to tell them, here's a woman caught in adultery. So they brought him. Lord, what should we do with this woman caught in adultery? This is everything is great. What does Moses say? Of course they know what Moses said. They just want to tell the Lord. So if the Lord Jesus would say, stone her to death, they would say, you see, he has no love. He has no love. And if the Lord Jesus says, Lord, just forgive her, they will say, you are against Moses. Moses says, stone him, stone her, and you said, forgive her. So what do you think? Well, anyone cannot say that he will take up the first stone and stone. The Lord was very wise. The Lord did not say stone or not did he say that? What did he say? I forgive. Let's go home. Did he say that? What did he say? How you enjoy. And then when you enjoy this wonderful sin offering and trespass offering, and more your inner man is being strengthened. You can overcome the temptation. Did not fall, right? No temptation. God will not let you be tempted above all that you can bear. God will not give you such a strong temptation that you cannot overcome. But will the temptation provide you with this? That you will be able to bear it and overcome it. But you say, God, why? Because you love this thing. All kinds of excuses. The Lord said, why do you give excuses? I have a sin offering. I have a sin offering. Just like Cain, the story of Abel and Cain.
Cain was a tender of herd, sheep, the shepherd. I'm sorry. On a shepherd, according to God's way.
And it's not hard. You know, what Cain was doing is harder. Because you have to kill sheep, you just lie down, the sheep will lie down, you can even go to sleep and you can play guitar. You don't need much gift. But if you can play guitar, just sing a song.
Or, and if you cannot sing a song, just go happy.
Cain, wow, he was planting work and killing the world and the But God accepted the offering offered by Abel. Cain was angry. I work so hard and he's always sleeping there. God accepted his offering and rejected my money. He was really mad.
I will be mad. I swear to God, I've worked so hard and I've brought you this. I don't think Cain will bring the most sour fruit. I think he will certainly bring the best of his produce, right? Sour grapes? I don't think so. I don't think so. But Cain was angry. So, today you need to see what God wants from you. You sweat, but you work and labor while you do some hard work. And if Cain didn't have it, Cain would go to his brother. Well, I believe Abel will say, no, just choose one. Take it. Don't you think so? You think Abel is that bad? Comes to me as a judge, can I have a little lamb? I said, yes, not just a little lamb, you can have more. Help yourself. It is not so hard. I just want to let you know, it is normal. So even to overcome is not so hard. Paul said so. So we all need to learn how to apply all of these offerings.